It's every Red Raider's favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Good afternoon to you and yours. This is Tech Talk on Double T 97.3, DoubleT973.com, and the Double T 97.3 mobile app. Get your thoughts in on the Ace Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com or that mobile app, as Jess mentioned. You can get on any of the conversations that we get into today. You can also give us a call on the Visual Edge IT hotline at 806-771-0973. I can get you to the front of the line. First voice you hear when you call that number will be Brendan, paid employee, as he is sliding slides and pushing buttons for us here on the program, and joined virtually by Dr. Mike Gustafson, who is with the Red Raider baseball team as they are on the road in Lawrence getting ready to take on the Jayhawks. And Gus, one of us is wrong. I lean toward me on this only because you're there and I am here. Yeah. But I've got my black shirt on because it's Friday. And okay, we wear black with the Red Raider baseball team on Fridays. Did I miss a schedule change with you and your red shirt?
No, I'm not even aware of that. So I defer to you, dude.
Yeah, it's Black Friday, Red Saturday, White / Gray Sunday. Huh. Like that's, mm-hmm. I feel like that's how it's been.
You know,
but now I have to question it.
Now you know that I'm being authentic when I go, guys, I don't really pay attention to the uniforms. Now you know just how authentic I'm being. Just it's like, as long as I've got pants on or something, you know, that if they came out in green or something, I might notice it, you know. But
well, the St. Patrick's Day hat stands
topless.
Exactly.
The St. Patrick's Day hats do stand out.
Yeah, like, yeah.
They're
yeah,
a little bit
I
different.
Agree.
But,
I agree.
But yep. How are things in Lawrence? How's the weather look?
Good. I did watch it at noon. The local news here in Kansas City, of course, we're a little bit west of Kansas City, and there's a dry line over Wichita. It's kind of over I-35, and we're on the wrong side of the dry line. We know about that in West Texas. And
we are familiar with the dry line, yes.
Yep, exactly. There should be a line of storms coming through here around 6:30 or whatever, but that was it on the thing for tonight. So, you know, possibly, and it was kind of spotted, you know, so we might have a lightning delay and do all that. Might not even get started on time. We might be fine. You know, maybe it's 20 miles north of us, and they think the worst of it will be north, but that doesn't mean we won't get some rain through there. And so we'll see. But we're all set to take BP on the field. And then Kansas has some managers out there getting everything set up. There we go.
Nice little view there. If you're watching on Optimum Channel 9 or on 34.2 over the air, no tarp on the field. That's always a good sign to see before a baseball game.
It's kind of hot. And yesterday when we got here, it was in mid 50s and raining pretty good. And it kind of stunk, you know, in terms of like, man, we left to come here, but we knew the temperatures today just by looking, you know, be in the 70s and 80s. And at this point in time, it's pretty muggy here. It's muggy and windy. The wind's blowing in from right field, which I think is in from the south, because this ballpark is oriented just about like Tech. This one and Tech are two of the few that have left field, sun field. So always been that way. So yeah.
And we were discussing earlier today, and kind of a running topic for this week is that these two teams are a little bit kind of Spider-Man meme-ish, where they both had their ups and downs. They both had really good pitching at times. They've had both had really good hitting at times. They both had them not work at together at the same time, and they both had them not work at all in a single game. So my general thought has been the name on the front of your jersey says Texas Tech, which means you should have the better roster. So this should be a good weekend, right? If both teams have the same problems, that you can go forth and conquer.
Well, I would assume if somebody's got if Vegas has action on this game, I would assume we are a favorite, or this series rather. But that doesn't mean a whole lot, as you know. Now, you think in terms of common opponents, of course, we both took four from Texas Southern, not basing a whole lot on that. they took two of three from TCU. We didn't do that.
No, we did not.
We both took one of three from UCF. They got swept by West Virginia here, but they went to Waco and took two of three. And so, yeah, it's a mixed bag. And obviously, we're a couple games ahead of them. It'll be, a game and a half officially, three on the win side, because we've played 21 and they've played 18. So we're a little bit ahead of them in the standings. But they're no longer the dregs of the league, and I didn't think they would be. I mean, when we talked about this last year, when they hired Dan Fitzgerald, I said, I think he'll do a good job here. Dan Fitzgerald was an assistant coach at DBU, and a team, and in fact, he was an assistant on that 2019 team that came to Lubbock, played us in the region finals. And so he's, been a part of putting together some really good rosters.
Yeah, and something that you're kind of leaning at there, it really did feel like for a very long time that they didn't care about baseball. At all, like the sport,
right.
It could have gone away, and he has really come in there since last year and this year continuation, and I don't want to say just giantly turn that program around, because they're not a beast by any extent of the imagination. They're not in contention to win the Big 12, but they're playing baseball, and they're not just giving up. So that's been a nice thing to see.
You're exactly right, Rich Price was the longest tenured coach in the league until, when he stepped down a couple of years ago. I'm looking at it. They were a Big 12 champs in 06, regional 06, regional 09, regional 14. But yeah, what a lot of younger fans remember is that they pitched everything backwards near the end when they were short on talent. And they don't have to do that anymore.
And they'd also try to avoid playing doubleheaders when it was possibly raining up there on the weekend against a Texas Tech team that was trying to win a Big 12 championship, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, they want to drag you through the cold and play to their home field, for sure.
Jerks. But we don't have to worry about that, although weather will be a fact. We were looking at it earlier. You said it's good now, but Sunday doesn't look so hot as we were looking today. So positive thoughts, Gus. Positive thoughts.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And there's the issue of storms, like thunderstorms and dangerous weather over the next couple of days. It looks like we're better off early in the afternoon tomorrow, like when we're playing. So it sounds like it's going to be like dangerous storms tomorrow night.
That's Dr. Mike Gustafson. You will hear him on the call with Jeff Haxton today, coming up at 5:30 with Texas Tech baseball against Kansas in Lawrence. Jeff McGuire filling in for Clint Scott. On the way, we are going to hit you with the juice. It's all the news and notes of the things you need to know. It's on Tech Talk on Double T 97.3.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It's the juice on Double T 97.3, DoubleT973.com, and the Double T 97.3 mobile app, brought to you by the Tech Talk guys. Jeff McGuire filling in for Clint Scott, who's decided he didn't want to work today. It's a short answer. Mike Gustafson on the road with the Red Raider baseball team. They are in Lawrence taking on the Kansas Jayhawks. First pitch is just after 6 o'clock today, 5:30 pregame here on Double T 97.3, and you'll also hear it on the mobile app. Normal starting pitchers for the Red Raider baseball team this weekend. Everybody back to where they normally are scheduled, Gus. And the one thing that you can take away from the Tuesday Murphy's Law game is you didn't use any of the guys you really need to for this weekend. You didn't burn anybody out. So pitching-wise, you should be in a good situation for the Jayhawks.
Yep. Yeah, Butera got an inning or two. Rogers got an inning or two. But, yeah, the rest of that was managed in terms of, that being a group of guys that weren't going to be doing a lot to affect this weekend. And even those two guys stayed in the 20 to 30 pitch range. So more than good for tonight, I would think.
Texas Rangers get ready for a series with the Cincinnati Reds, and looking to bounce back after a series loss to the Seattle Mariners and now falling out of first place in the AL West. They're a half a game back, I believe, is where they currently sit in the standings. But a sign of possibly good things, Gus, they get to bring out the City Connects uniform tonight, as I've seen them all over the place. Where is your thought process on that particular jersey?
It doesn't bother me. I mean, it's very different, but I know a lot went into all that, and some people love it and whatever. It's just what they're going to play in. So I'm really more interested in that uniform that, hey, we're 9-1 when we wear that one. Here we go. Wear that one more often.
Let's make that the daily, the normal uniform, and get rid of the others if that's the case. 9-1 for a baseball record?
Yes.
Solid.
We're the pink ones. We're 9-1.
That being said, you'll hear that game after Texas Tech baseball wraps up today here on Double T 97.3. If you're looking for Astros baseball, you're going to have to look a little further south as they take on the Rockies, not in Houston, but in Mexico City as part of the MLB World Tour. Gus, I don't know why that they decided the Rockies and Astros needed to be the teams that played this. I don't know why they decided Mexico City, but they have, and that's what this weekend is for them.
Yeah, one thing you can bank on from Mexico City is just elevation. We've all heard about that in terms of the football games that are played down there, that the punters love it and all that, and so the ball's going to fly there. But yeah, I don't know what specifically went into that. Maybe they put a Texas team down there just to make sure that was part of the math, just to create some international appeal. Of course, baseball is a popular sport in that part of the world. So, yeah, and they're not playing today. They're like tomorrow, Sunday, right?
Correct. First game is tomorrow at 4:35 over on 100.7 The Score. If you want to check out the Astros call for that. NFL draft took place last night. Dallas Cowboys were initially scheduled to draft 24th. They decided that they would wait and traded back, got an extra third-round pick, which I really do like that decision, especially since you don't have a fourth-round pick this year. And they got an offensive lineman out of Oklahoma, Tyler Guyton, and should slide into that tackle spot for the Cowboys. Lots of praise coming from the Dallas faithful on their broadcast last night when they picked him up. And I really, really liked the move down. You've got to fill a bunch of holes, and you got to do it on the cheap. And the only real way to do that is in the NFL draft. They will be back on the clock today at the 56th overall pick at number 24 overall in the second round, and then you've got those two third-round picks as well, and both of those two rounds will take place today. Also, high school baseball in action. Friendship taking on San Angelo Central. That's over on Sunny 97.7. District champion Friendship Tigers, I should say. They won that district last night against San Angelo Central. That game was at home. This one's on the road. They'll play again tomorrow at 2 o'clock on Sunny 97.7 to wrap up that three-game set. And Cooper Baseball taking on Abilene Wiley. You'll hear it at 7 over on 100.7 The Score. Gus, this off the Yates Learning Center chat line, I'll let you try to explain what's going on. What fresh hell is this? Where's Clint?
Isn't Clint getting all friendshipped up?
No, that Choice is getting all friendshipped up. I think Clint just took a Friday off.
Oh, okay.
So that's why I'm here and why I'm still here on my as the running gag for today. It's two stations, three shows, three co-hosts, two producers, and a partridge in a pear tree today for me.
Yeah, your versatility is coming in handy today. Yeah,
being the only guy in town is coming handy for everybody else today.
Yeah, we're in a little tiny visitors radio booth, and the wind is howling, and so there's dang sure not a window being opened from between 3 and 5 here. So yeah, hanging a towel on the wall. Didn't know what the situation was going to be like until I walked in. So if it's still like this tomorrow, you can blame me for not bringing a towel.
Sure.
But yeah, don't usually carry towels around to the radio booth. Yeah. But that's good. It is solid advice. But yeah, you're just going to have to listen to me echo here.
You know, it's just one of those things that has to happen from time to time, Gus. We understand it. We get it. What was your take on the Cowboys draft last night? Did you like the move back and picking up an offensive lineman?
Well, I thought the decision to pick an offensive lineman was a really sensible decision in terms of addressing a need, as opposed to them going out and, you know, getting something shiny and, you know, another speed receiver or something like that that would be real headliney. What they need is what they got, and they probably felt good at the point at which they made that trade down. They probably felt good about getting, you know, one of a couple linemen at the point that we're like, hey, we can still, you know, we can move back whatever it was, four or five spots or whatever, and still get one of our two guys that we're targeting. And in terms of the actual pick, it sounds like they feel really good about him. Like it's a really toolsy tackle. A little rough right now, like technique, you know, otherwise if, because as big as he is and as physical as he is, if all of that was cleaned up, he's not available with what, the 30th overall pick.
Yeah.
29. Yeah, there you go. 29. He's not down there, but it sounds like there's a little bit of work to do. But what was the stat that we read? The Cowboys have drafted four.
Oh yeah. Four offensive linemen.
Offensive linemen, and all of them have
made the Pro Bowl.
Yeah. Or all have been all pro or Pro Bowl or whatever. Yeah. That's, you know, now some of that's just picks turning out as they're supposed to be, because that's what you're supposed to get out of a first round pick as a, you know, good player like that. But that's what they need. And, you know, just clean it up. I was thinking, wondered about that too. Is that going to affect our guy, our Red Raider on the, what, because he was their right tackle. Is that what they drafted?
I think they're going to put him on the left-hand side, but don't quote me on that. I mean, Terrence Steele, he's still going to be one of their guys that they rely on. And you want to talk about a guy who took advantage of everything he got from the Cowboys. And then on top of them working with him and getting him better.
Right.
And
absolutely.
So the Cowboys have known how to do that for offensive linemen. Steele's not going anywhere, mainly because they can't afford not to have Steele be there. They can't afford another offensive lineman at this point. But he's also been a very quality hand and a guy that they rely on. Gus, coming up, we're going to shift gears just a little bit and get us focused back for Red Raider baseball, get some thoughts about this series, what the Red Raiders need to do to get some quality wins this weekend and move up the rankings in the Big 12. It's coming up here on Tech Talk on Double T 97.3. Double T 97.3.com and the Double T 97.3 mobile app.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Say what you will about Tech Talk. When told to clip something, it will get clipped, as we are riding through your afternoon. Getting you ready for Red Raider baseball, Jeff McGuire filling in for Clint Scott, sitting alongside virtually Mike Gustafson, who's on the road with Red Raider baseball team as they're taking on the Kansas Jayhawks. And Brendan Riker sitting across the way, sliding slides, pushing buttons for us and keeping us on the air as he does on the program, and clipping things that apparently need to be clipped when told to clip them. It looks like he's pushing the button now.
That's the shtick, and we're going to need that clipped.
Gus, yeah. If I told you that you are calling a game involving a team who is leading the Big 12 in average, would you think that's right? In batting average. Would you think that's correct?
You mean one of these two teams?
One of those two teams is leading the league in batting average.
Yeah. I assume it's us, right?
That would be correct. 322 is what the team is hitting.
Yeah, and now you're giving an all games.
Yeah, it's not just Big 12 play. Yeah. This is everything that you've played so far.
Yeah, and that's okay. Because that's part of the performance measure. You know, we're all used to it. Once we get this deep into Big 12 play, I usually shift my attention to conference stats, just because that it matters.
Right. If I could get it set up so that the Big 12 would just give me the Big 12 stats, that would make this easier. But here's the one that really jumped out at me on this one, Gus. If I were to tell you that one of the two teams that you're watching tonight in Lawrence has almost a 100-run lead on second place in the conference. Would you believe me?
Yeah, I would, because I sat through that Texas Southern and Gardner Webb series.
But you know, everybody's got a series like that.
Yeah, and including these guys.
Including
these
Kansas. But when I think of this team, as strange as it sounds, I don't think of offense first.
Well, Clint, then you're right. In the narrative around this team is, you know, put just what you were getting at with all of that, and then throw in we had teams around here that played 1984 in a 30-21 game and all of that stuff with Baylor, hit 8 home runs in a game there. Joe Dillon and those guys hit 8 home runs in a game. This team this year is the one that finally hit 9 in a game and set the record. So this year, this team has set the record for runs in a game and home runs in a game. And yet, flip that, and let's talk about the 9 or the 3 road Big 12 weekends, UCF, Baylor, and TCU, not in order.
Right.
This team's 8-72 with runners in scoring position in those 9 games. And so we're talking about a road Big 12 weekend right here. And so it's a fascinating spread. It's a wide delta of possibilities with this group. I don't imagine that they'll continue hitting at a 111 rate, but 8-72 is consequential. It's not just like, well, they went 1-9 one night. No, that's 9 games.
Yeah.
You know, they're averaging less than a hit a game with a runner in score position on these road games, and that's on these road Big 12 games, and that's gotta get fixed.
And there's no real way to get it fixed unless they go like 10-10 with runners in scoring position. And that would be ridiculous if you were doing that in Big 12 play.
Yeah, they need to fix it by just having a solid weekend here and continuing to pitch well on the road and that's an interesting thing because it feels like more people just in general, if we were gonna gripe about our point, I say it this way. When I get stopped by people, the people will go, oh, how's our offense? Everybody, how's our pitching? What's wrong with our pitching?
Blah, right.
Blah. Like, hey, let's dissect that a little bit. On the road in those 9 Big 12 games that we're talking about, pitching's got like a 3 ERA. And so, or an ERA in the 3s. And so it's been the offense that has failed this team away from Lubbock in those Big 12 games. And so we'll see. But yeah, there's such an interesting dynamic with this year's team and in terms of that offense.
And one thing that I don't feel like is unfair when we talk about this Red Raider baseball team is that you can really divide this pitching into 3 different categories. You've got your weekend rotation guys who I have a ton of faith in that they can go out there and get outs and do what they need to do. That they're not perfect. It's not the Martin Gingrey combination that you've had in the past. It's not 3 super studs that if the other team gets a run across, everybody's shocked. But they're going out there, they're getting outs, they're doing what they're supposed to do. They're getting to the parts of the bullpen they're supposed to get to when they're in those positions. And I'd also say that your weekend bullpen hasn't just been atrocious either. That they've gone in there when it hasn't just been the one game that everybody gets blown out in, that you've got to use all of your arms on a Friday or all of them on a Saturday to get through it, that they've done their job. And it's been a very pleasant surprise to see that. And then you've got the third option, which is your midweek guys. And I think all of them go into the same category. Yeah. But it's also that because of how bad that has been at times, that some of your weekend losses are blamed on guys that had nothing to do with it, I guess,
sure,
for reputation-wise.
Yeah, sure. And, in the group you're talking about, the premium bullpen guys, I guess you would say, we would certainly put Sanders at the top of that conversation, Hutera, and maybe to a slightly lesser extent, Jacob Rogers. But that's that's kind of the group you're talking about. I was refer to them sort of as the A-list bullpen options. And then the B-list guys are, and everybody's got them, but they're the younger guys or whatever on down the list. It's like when we were playing West Virginia last Friday, and we're up whatever it was, 6-1 in the third, or through three, I guess, maybe going in the fourth, and you can see them getting somebody loose. You look down there and like, oh, it's a guy who's pitched six times this year. We're going to be in good shape to score a few more runs, and we did, and that game got loose and blew them out because they're not going to any high-leverage bullpen arms down 6-1 on a Friday. And so that's where your starting pitching's got to carry innings and eat innings, or, you know, unless you're in a 7-7 game in the third inning or something like that, where you're like, oh, we're both going to go after this with higher leverage options. But it's a whole lot better when you get good starting pitching and eat some innings.
Ryan Free getting the start tonight for the Red Raider baseball team, 5-0 on the year, 5.10 ERA. Obviously, you'd like that to be just a little bit lower. Reese Dutton going to counter for Kansas. What do we know about Reese?
Yes, Reese Dutton. Hang on, I just got it right here. He was a Big 12 Pitcher of the Week a couple weekends ago. Threw really well at BYU or against BYU, and then what they'll throw against us tomorrow is going to be a true freshman. I know you didn't ask that yet, but he's also a true freshman that's been really good for them. And Dominic Vegley on Sundays, they've been using an opener kind of a deal. Like they'll throw a guy that'll go two or three innings and then maybe flip it back to a left-hander or whatever. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, Reese Dutton's been been a Big 12 Pitcher of the Week very recently.
So basically what Gus is saying is welcome to Friday night in the Big 12. As sure. They get started tonight, 5:30 pregame, 6 o'clock first pitch. Flem Lawrence, it's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3. Presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Another hour and a half to go as we're getting you ready for Red Raider Baseball here on Double T 97.3. DoubleT97.3.com and the Double T 97.3 mobile app. This is Tech Talk. I am clearly not Clint Scott. Jeff McGuire filling in for him, who is taking a well-deserved day off, sitting alongside virtually the one and only Dr. Mike Gustafson, who's on the road with Red Raider Baseball in Lawrence as we're getting ready to face the Kansas Jayhawks. And Gus, real quick, no tarp on the field yet. Everybody's still getting ready for baseball at 6 o'clock, right?
Yes, sir. Now, we have gotten a little bit overcast here in the last hour, which is kind of the forecast here. There's going to be a line of storms come through at around 6:30, and again, hopefully that misses us or whatever. But it looks just like our West Texas deals, where it pops up and then the line rips through here. But good so far. But yeah, what you're seeing there on your screen, if you're near the TV, is Kansas taking BP.
This is a good sign. That means we're starting on time, and we will have balls and strikes coming up at 6 o'clock today here on Double T 97.3. Gus, NFL draft took place last night. We've kind of talked about the Cowboys pick a little bit and them moving back and getting an offensive tackle, which is a definite need position for them. What else stood out for you from last night's draft?
Well, I would say two things, and it's it's almost the type of question like which one was more confusing or shocking or mind-boggling or whatever. Unfortunately,
right.
They don't really involve. I mean, I guess one of them does involve the Chiefs if you roll that way. But the Chiefs benefiting, or I guess the Bills go into the draft with a clear need at wide receiver and they trade down or let the Chiefs trade up or whatever to get Xavier Worthy. Now, you know, and Xavier Worthy, if we know about that, Xavier Worthy had the fastest time ever at a combine, and he's a speed guy. It's like, man, that could be fun to watch, because we saw Mahomes and Tyreek Hill do their thing, and it feels like Worthy could be that same type guy, smallish and super fast. And so, but then the question out there is, if you're a Bills guy, and we just happen to have a common friend who is a Bills guy, you know, I'm sure Jamie need to be kept away from the sharp objects.
What Jamie would tell you, Gus, he's a Bills fan.
Par for the course.
No, he'd say, yeah, I'm a Bills fan. I plan for the worst and hope for something a little bit better.
Yeah,
and that's kind of what they got last night. It wasn't the worst, but it was just a little bit better than the worst.
And yes, no, I got you. And that was, so that was really the second thing. The first big surprise, I think, just in terms of a national narrative, which I was right there with them, was when the Falcons took Penix, you know, at face value, you go, all right, nice pick. You know, he's an interesting quarterback and, you know, fantastic player last year and maybe Indiana before they, you know, kind of playing through all that. And it's like, wait a second. They signed, like, had one of the big free agent signings of the whole shooting match when they brought in Cousins, Kirk mm-hmm. Cousins. And then they immediately turn around. They're a bad team, all right? The Falcons are. They wouldn't be drafting eighth. And they you know, defense needs all kind of help or whatever. And you're thinking, well, all right, you got Cousins. All right, with that eighth overall pick, you can go get an edge rusher, or, you know, whatever. You can get whatever kind of help you need around the quarterback. And yes, Cousins has a little age on him, but it's a 4-year deal. And so, and they go draft the quarterback. And so, and they called the, you know, and then there was talk about how they picked up the phone and called Cousins' agent and said, hey, just want you to know what's about to happen. Kirk's still our guy. Da, 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 da. We're about to take quarterback. And, you know, on one hand, you go, well, he, you know, that's good. You can mentor this guy and bring him along and this and that and this and that. But on the other hand, if you're Cousins, you're going, hey, I was really hoping there would be a receiver, an impact guy, or a tackle, or an edge rusher, or something. And you're like, nope, you just got two quarterbacks. So
yeah.
maybe it's the right thing to do for 3 years down the road, but it feels like the 2024 version of the Falcons is going to be having some problems unless they can, you know, do some good things second, third, fourth round.
I mean, he's coming off an injury, and he's not a spring chicken. Mm. And that's right. The only justification I have for the Falcons making that pick. That it's just in case he's not ready, just in case it gets flared back up and he can't go the whole season. We need somebody that can throw the football for us that we have some trust in. But I like you, like everybody else. It was, you did what now? Okay, hang on.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. It's not a terrible. I don't understand. And wide receiver, offensive lineman, you know, something to help your team this year when you go all in and sign Kirk Cousins. Like, this is how you're supposed to go all in, Jerry. This is what it looks like, not what you did. And then the Falcons said, well, Jerry, here, hold my beer. We're going to show you how you can mess this up going all in. So, yeah, that was confusing to me. I will say, I look at what Washington did, and I don't know that Jalen Daniels is going to be the best quarterback out of this draft. I don't know that it's not going to be Caleb Williams. But Jaden Daniels going into Washington with their defensive-minded head coach and Cliff Kingsbury as your offensive coordinator, what do we know about Cliff Kingsbury? He knows how to work with a quarterback.
Yeah.
And knows how to get them to do what they need to do. And if he's willing to listen, he may be the best pick in this draft. If he's willing to go in there and be tutored by Cliff Kingsbury and run the offense that Cliff wants to run. And the thing that Jaden will learn, if you listen to Cliff, he's going to let you do what you're good at. And he's going to make you do more of what you're good at so you can be more impressive. And I hate saying this as a Cowboys fan, but Washington could be the turnaround team in the league if he does that. And I don't want to see that. I've enjoyed Washington stinking. It's been fun for me.
that was an interesting. I don't remember exactly where. Well, I guess it would have been ESPN after the draft, asking Saban about him, and you know, Saban had a lot of thoughts about him. It was complimentary about him as a player and what he had done to improve over the last couple of years in college, and you know, dynamic guy. You know, he said he said about the only shortcoming he said is he needs to get a little bit bigger and stronger, because he had just made the comparison of him to Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so he probably needs to get a little bit bigger and stronger just to be durable enough to play through what he'll play through in that thing. But he was talking about how good he is at stepping into the pocket and, you know, just attacking defenses and all that stuff. So I'm with you. It's an exciting pick. It'd be interesting to see what that is. And I know that his success may come at the expense of the Cowboys, but that's worry about that on down the road.
Oh, I'm going to worry about that now, because the Cowboys don't have They got an offensive lineman this offseason, and they got him last night. So that was nice to see. Coming up, we've got Brandon's play of the day, plus a couple of thoughts rolling in on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3, DoubleT97.3.com, and the Double T 97.3 mobile app.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Another hour to go here on Tech Talk on Double T 97.3, DoubleT97.3.com, and the Double T 97.3 mobile app, getting you ready for Red Raider baseball, who's on the road in Lawrence, Kansas, as Mike Gustafson is virtually with the team. Well, he's with the team. He's with us virtually, I should say. And got a nice picture of the stadium there. Looks a little overcast, Gus, but no tarp on the field. And I like seeing that when we're getting ready for Red Raider baseball. We apparently have lost Gus, but that's okay. I have faith that he will be back. Brennan, we missed your play of the day, and I apologize for that. Let us do that now, sir.
0-1 pitch. Wrapped up in the air to right center field. Center fielder going back. He's out of room. It is gone. Adios, muchacho, Parker Kelly. He found that wind and rode it out of here. 2-0 Red Raider. 3-2 is lifted to center field. Way, way, way back. Adios, muchacho, over the batter's eye. Give me a break, Chase Young.
Oh, my goodness.
I was just saying there's another one coming. I didn't want to interrupt
again. Grown man stuff there.
Could use some of that today, couldn't we, Gus?
Yes, sir.
All right, Brandon, you want to tell everybody where you got? I mean, I know what they are, but you were the one that grabbed them and the reason why.
Yeah, so last time you were in Lawrence, 2022, so in the second game of this series, you won 28-2 and had four home runs in that game, nine doubles, and those were two of the home run calls from that win.
28-2.
Yep, and then got beat the next day because that was your pitch it backwards deal that you were rapping about earlier.
I was more grapping about how the fact that we knew rain was coming and they didn't want to play the doubleheader on Saturday, so we were sticking around all day long on a rain out Sunday when it was just absolutely pouring down rain. And like, no, on Saturday. Beautiful night, Saturday night. Could have played easily two games that day. Could even split the two games, like one early, one late, because I think it was an early game on Saturday that the Tech had. Saturday night, Kansas coach was like, nah, we'll just see how it goes tomorrow. Monsoon season hit the next day. Like, there was no shot at playing baseball, and it was ridiculous. Never forgive that guy. Like, of the moments of opposing coaches, Oklahoma State getting our guy thrown out for the Texas series, the Duke coach and the Kansas coach not wanting to play baseball are the three that stand out for me as the most annoying I've been at an opposing coach that didn't just involve Texas.
You just don't want to notice them. And yeah. I shouldn't even have to pay any attention to your opposing coach.
Like, make your moves, do your thing. I got no issue. You know what you got to do for your team. Like, I'm never going to criticize you for strategy. But when you're just being a jerk, those are the things that I remember. Or, you know, being able to time an ice age with the time it takes you to leave the dugout to get to the mound. That would be the Duke coach.
Yeah, that was and that rule was fixed after that offseason. Because I don't think – not because of Duke per se.
Right.
But I think there was – just all of that in the interest to speed things up because they were maxing it out. They were doing the one per inning per pitcher thing, you know, and taking their time and just using that like a basketball coach would call timeout and the other team goes on a run.
Gus, have you had a chance to see what Scherzer was talking about after his first minor league start with regards to the robo ump type thing with the specific strike zone?
I knew that he did say something. I haven't seen the clip of him saying it.
If I were to have you guess, which side of the lane do you think he was on? Do you think he liked it or didn't like it?
You know, he's usually kind of compelling. I think he would get more noticed. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that he is anti-Robo.
He is extremely anti-Robo. Did not like it at all, and for all the reasons that every good, really good pitcher has dealt with and gotten the benefit of. If you're having a really good day and you've got the reputation for being a guy when you've got your good stuff going and everybody knows what that looks like, that you'll get the ball half an inch off the plate and you'll get the ball maybe down a little bit further than what the actual strike zone is, quote unquote. But on the flip side of that, it's also the, you know, we see it in high school games all the time. If you've got a 3-0 count, the strike zone is dugout to dugout, moon to floor, and you know, get it anywhere in this neighborhood and we're going to call a strike for you in high school.
Sure, some captain auto strike. Sure.
So I mean, it goes both ways for pitchers through the course of their careers, but to say that he was not a fan is a bit of an understatement. Where are you at with that concept? Because you've been watching baseball for an awfully long time and have called games and played games and been the hitter and I'm willing to bet you had your share of balls that were outside the strike zone called a strike and adjusted to them and got some hits off of those. So where do you sit in all of this?
Maybe I got some of the other ones too. Exactly. I thought, oh, that's a strike. Oh, thanks. I'm going to go to first now. So probably a little bit of both, but it would seem like to me the best happy middle for Major League Baseball is to go to the minor league, the little appeal thing. You know, where you get a handful of appeals a game, and they can basically, like, you know, pitcher thinks, hey, that pitch caught some of the strike zone. It was called a ball. You know, check it. And they go in there, and it takes like 5 seconds. I don't know if it's an earpiece thing or they look at something or whatever, and they can go, yeah, it was a strike, and they change it and strike three. You know, schemes, they showed schemes a couple weeks ago. And one of his AAA starts doing that, like, hey, wait, that pitch caught the inside corner. And they were showing sort of how it works on Twitter. The unfortunate part was it was Jace Young that was taking three. They go back and look at it. But I like that because it doesn't take long. It keeps the umpires moving. It keeps the game as it is. But if you feel like there's something egregious, you know, one, either side, you know, a hitter can go, no, that's off. And they appeal it and go, yeah, you're right, ball three. You know, but that it can be quickly gotten right and we move on. I'd be fine with that as more so than just going complete Robo.
And keep in mind, guys, that the camera angle is just a little bit off from center field. You're not directly looking at where home plate is on that box. Just something to think about.
This has been the Tech Talk Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of TT973 podcasts at TT973.com.